As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be.
Oh man, it's 8 o'clock.
And so that'll make it a.
I don't need the spotlight. I shine just fine.
Hi, I'm Karma, and yes, I am a bitch.
Brav Bros.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Brav Bros, your favorite podcast from the bros for everybody, for whoever wants to listen. I am your co-host, Steel Russell, joined as always by the one and only Scootly McDootly. What's up, dude?
I like that one. Yeah. I thought you were going to call me like Grumps McGrumps.
No, I don't want to compound the issue.
No, it's okay. Yeah, no. Well, this is the thing. So, obviously, we're going to be talking about Beverly Hills today.
Yep.
We had a nice reunion, which was actually a little surprising because usually the first parts of reunions get a little too crazy and you can't keep up with what's going on. And I like that sweatshirt you're wearing. My mind is all over the place. But there's another thing. While work sucks, I have been focused on a completely different issue. And that's going to bring us to current events.
Oh, we haven't done a current event in a while.
Oh, there is a lot of current events this week. Holy shit.
There sure are.
Let me catch you up to it. So I'm going to start in Glasgow. With the Willy Wonka experience. Have you seen that one?
That's one of my favorite ones.
It is by far one of the best things this year has ruled as far as current events go. So if you're not familiar with that and you're not chronically online, I'll break it down for you.
Go for it.
So there is an immersive, fully interactive experience in Glasgow that was, I guess, advertised to children saying, hey, come out and check out the Willy Wonka Chocolate Factory. And this is going to be a lot of fun and you'll get some free candy at the end of it. Well, they didn't plan on people actually coming, I guess, or somebody didn't actually fully go through with everything because the script was leaked and each person that was part of the experience had like one or two lines and they were very poorly written and they had to improvise the entire time. The other issue is they completely went off script and they added a villain from Willy Wonka called the Unknown, which is just some creature with a big cape and like a silver mask on that was scaring children in the middle of this. You thought it was going to be a chocolate factory. Guess again, you're going to be scared.
Wait, that's not a made up thing. The Unknown, that's the villain of the movie.
No,
not the actual person, just like the Unknown, like the kid falls into the chocolate, gets sucked up in the tube. Is he dead? I don't know.
Okay,
Baruch of salt gets rolled up. I'm just saying, if
maybe
you
that's
look at it,
maybe. Unknown. I mean, that makes sense, I guess. I don't know why you're making excuses for this.
No, I'm not. The funniest part is the biggest issue with it was not the script. It's the warehouse in which it was presented.
Yeah. So I was getting to that. But yeah, so there were a lot of issues with this. And the pictures that have leaked out of this and the videos that have leaked out are truly unbelievable. They're so fucking funny. So that's been really great. The other issue that's been captivating audiences across Twitter is, where the hell is Kate Middleton? I know we've got some British people that listen to our podcast. Can you tell us where your Duchess is?
Where
no one seems to know.
The world is Kate Middleton.
And it's really funny because the royal family came out and said, yeah, you know, we told you that she wasn't going to be back until after Easter. So, of course, knowing how the internet works, everybody's speculating on what's going to happen. And the number one answer is she's going to come out with a BBL after Easter. And they were making jokes about Jesus coming back to life. And here comes Kate Middleton with her BBL. Or maybe she is the Unknown and she was in Glasgow. So there's ties in for all of this. And then the last one is Rebecca Ferguson, which, by the way, Steele and I are going to go see Dune 2 on Sunday.
Woo!
Which will bring us right into Beverly Hills because Dorit is very excited for Dune 2, apparently, given her dress that she decided to wear.
Oh, good call.
Yeah. And Rebecca Ferguson was doing pressers and said that there was a co-star, or rather a star of the movie, that made her very uncomfortable and yelled at her and screamed at her. And she said, I wasn't going to work with him anymore, or I'm not going to work with them anymore. And it led to people speculating as to who it might be and breaking it down. And there are full breakdowns online. It's really funny.
It's got to be Skarsgård.
So no, it's not Skarsgård. She's cool with him. It's not Tom Cruise. She's very cool with Tom.
Wait, Tom Cruise is in Dune 2?
No. It's not just Dune 2. It's just a different movie that
general.
She did. Yeah, okay. In general. Yeah. The number one suspect right now is Hugh Grant.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then
to Willy Wonka.
Exactly. Yeah. Full circle. We're just going all the way around. Hugh Grant and Michael Fassbender were the two. So that's a possibility.
Fassbender would bum me out. I like him a lot.
Yeah, so do I. But it wouldn't surprise me, I guess.
No, I could see him as being a difficult person to work with because he's so good at his job.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. So yeah, those three things have been basically gripping me all week. They're getting me through the week, and that's what I needed.
Yeah.
So there's your current events.
That's a good current event list. I want to, you know, pivot a little bit since we are a Bravo podcast and talk about a couple of things that have happened in the Bravo airwaves in the past couple of days, because a lot's going on.
Can we not talk about Jax and Brittany, though?
No, we can just say the fact that Jax and Brittany are living in separate houses, and it's coming out the news like a week before the show premieres, which
Three weeks.
So weird, like the timing of it. Oh,
I actually know when the show comes out. So
March 19th, right?
Yeah. So it's not a week.
So it's a few weeks. But regardless, like, I'm getting Vanderpump overload right now. There's too much happening from all different sides. Now you got Jax and Brittany, who aren't even on the show, but are party to the show. That's going on with the Valley, so who knows?
I think we can just put it to bed right now and say that they're doing this to drum up some attention for the show.
I think
yeah,
it is, but like at the same time, it makes me. I was already not that interested in the Valley. I'm even more so less interested now because it's like, well, why am I going to watch you guys if this is all going to fall?
They're
apart?
They're just going to fight. Yeah,
yeah. Like
and nobody wants to see that.
I don't know. I think maybe they're hoping that it's going to be as captivating as like, ooh, we get to see another scandal. It's like, no, we don't give a fuck. That's why you're not
over
on TV
scandals.
Anymore.
Let's just get back to the fun. Times.
Yeah,
you know?
I need some fun. I need some light. But speaking of not fun, we got another thing coming out, and this one's a lot more serious because this has like actual serious ramifications, and that is Rachel Levis has now decided to sue both Ariana and Sandoval over the video that Sandoval recorded on his phone of those two having an intimate FaceTime together, and that is falling under a revenge porn accusation, which is a very serious accusation with very, very serious repercussions. So that's a big one. And I'm curious what's going to happen with that.
Yeah, that's a big one. And we actually, I think we talked about that last year during all of this. And it wasn't necessarily a throwaway comment, but in the grand scheme of things, it does kind of go away because we're talking about a cheating scandal over everything else. So yes, we knew about that. And we said that there's a possibility that that could happen. Mm-hmm. Looks like it is happening. I'm not really surprised by any of this.
Not either. And you know, rightfully so, honestly.
Yeah. Like, I mean, seriously, whatever happened, that's the thing with Rachel. Whatever happened with her, aside from Bethany Frankel,
yeah,
she has made the right moves for the most part. I don't know, like her podcast, I can just kind of throw that away entirely.
Yeah, especially considering it's Vanderpump centric and you didn't want to go on the show, but you talk about the show relentlessly.
Like, she also said she wasn't going to talk about Scandoval, and apparently that's all she's talking about.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a throwaway entirely. But whatever she's doing outside of that, it seems like she's making the right moves.
She seems to be putting herself first. And whether you like her or not, I think we can all agree, like, Scandoval got out of hand.
Yeah.
It got out of hand. Like, you can insert the meme of Will Ferrell from Anchorman. Like, that escalated quickly. Like, it did get out of hand. And these are people, and I would even have these same sentiments about Sandoval had he not gone on this weird tour he's been on recently. But I can't even say to that extent, like, yeah, it got a little over the top with him as well during the whole thing. Like, it got really heated across the world. So, for her to bring this up now, like, yeah, you have every right to. Like, you were recorded without your consent. That video was then shown to other people. That is, by definition, revenge porn.
Yep.
So she has a case. I'm very curious what this means for Tom. I'm very curious what this means for Ariana and her current career path. Like, this has some serious side effects, if you want to call them that. I'm only saying that. Well, I said ramifications and repercussions already. I'm trying to think of different words.
Word choice.
I'm working on it.
Yeah.
Instead of getting stuck on one word, side effects belittles it. I understand that. So it's not my best.
But at what cost, you know?
Hey. So I'm curious. Like, we got a lot of things happening in, once again, the VPR universe. Obviously, the lawsuit's a serious thing. I'm not going to talk shit about that. The Jackson Brittany stuff, like, Jesus Christ. I can't be any less excited for the Valley, and now I'm even more less excited about the Valley. So we'll see what happens with that, if it is just promo for the show, or if she finally realized that, oh God, I'm married to Jax Taylor. Also very possible. But time will tell with both of them. We'll keep an ear to the ground.
Begrudgingly. With the Jackson Brittany one.
Yeah, very begrudgingly on that one. But I'm curious. I'm genuinely curious about the lawsuit. I want to see where that one goes.
Yeah, me too.
But as Shooter said, it's reunion season here at the Brav Bros studio. So we had two reunions, Beverly Hills and Miami. Miami, our episode is coming out later today, so you will hear that as well. I will say this in regards to both. For episode one of the Rob Hub reunion was good. And as Shooter said, we're used to these kind of being throwaway episodes, like they're leading up to something, but there was enough here that it was a captivating episode. And I liked what we got from a lot of the ladies. I didn't like a lot of things we got from the ladies, so we're going to discuss that today, or on this episode. I have to make a public service announcement. Miami, and I know that you had your issues with, like, this season.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best Housewives show on right now. after this reunion, like, I think if you compare it across the board to the other Housewives shows, this one is the most authentic and it is giving the most out of all of the other franchises at this moment.
At this moment, yeah. The bar's not set too high, though.
It's not, but they are still number one, and I'm only saying this and voicing this because it's not getting enough attention. I don't know why people aren't watching it. It does not resonate. I don't understand because it's way better than any other product out there on Bravo.
Yeah, logistically, it doesn't make any sense. We talked about this last week. With it being right after Beverly Hills, you would imagine people would watch it.
Crossover, yeah.
And they're not. And I know that they're moving, which I'm a huge fan of this. They're just going to bang out episodes 2 and 3 on the same night.
Big fan.
Big fan of that. Put that next week. They're putting it on Thursday. I don't know if it's before or after Summer
House. That's going to make a very, very long episode for us on a recap.
It may or may not. Honestly, it depends on what the content is.
Like, that's a great point, because then we can pick and choose.
Exactly. That's the best part.
Good call.
And then we don't have to do this. And look, I wish
we don't have to do this.
Well, no, it's not just that. We always talk about these reunions and how they go on for so long, and I know we're going to do it with Beverly Hills. It's more so the waiting of, okay, now we've got 3 full episodes, 3 reunion episodes to get through, and usually one of them is a clunker.
Yep.
Sometimes it's the first one because they start yelling at each other and nobody's really saying anything. Sometimes it's the second one because it's just a waiting game where they're kind of going through all of the stupid storylines that we saw, which kind of Beverly Hills sort of did that.
Yeah.
Not the stupid ones, but, you know, the ones that we're kind of over. Like, that we've talked about them enough, so they got them out of the way in the first episode. Huge fan of that. But if they lump episodes 2 and 3 together for more of these, if you're going to do 3 parts, I'm a huge fan because we can pick and choose and just kind of go around. Obviously, we're going to watch both, but we can figure out exactly what we want to talk about and condense it into 1 episode.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah.
Good call. So, Bravo, if you're listening, Mr. Bravo.
Mr. Bravo.
Mr. Bravo. That's how you should do it from now on, in our opinion. I think that's a good plan, but... as I said, it is the Rob-ha reunion, and this episode gave us a decent amount to discuss, so let's dive in. And we start out, and we saw this clip kind of circulating the social media airwaves, and that was the text leaking from Kyle to Dorit. And these two have not been in contact for months at this point because of the fallout of their friendship over the season, which we watched transpiring. And when I saw this, it's interesting because I feel like their friendship... like the falling apart of their friendship kind of took a back seat. Like, I really didn't focus on that a lot during the season. Fast forward to the reunion, I'm like, oh, it's actually a pretty captivating topic when you break it down. Because from our lens, from the relationship that we've watched these two have over the past however many years, they seem very close. They go on vacation together with their husbands. Like, they seem to share a lot of moments. Fast forward, we get an interview from Kyle where she's saying, you know, it's exaggerated. This friendship's exaggerated. We're not that close, belittling their entire friendship. They go radio silence for 3 months. The night before the reunion, we get paragraphs on paragraphs from Kyle explaining why I haven't been in touch. And can we just talk about this another time? Let's just get through tomorrow and then we'll have a sit down, blah, blah, blah. Was Kyle being genuine, or was this a very manipulative tactic to try to do to Dorit to keep her from talking shit about you?
It was manipulative, but it was very poorly done.
It was.
Get ahead of it. Do it a week or two before.
It's clumsy as
shit. You don't do it the day before. That's insane. The funny thing is, and I kind of want to highlight what you said, it would have made for a very interesting storyline this year if we got to see Dorit and Kyle talking to each other or talking about one another about how their friendship was falling apart. And if we got to see pretty much what Kyle said in that interview, where you have Kyle on one end saying, yeah, you're exaggerating this friendship. We don't hang out that often. You don't do the things, which she kind of touched on during the reunion. And you get to see Dorit in complete denial. Like, that would have made for a better storyline than really what we got out of most of the storylines. Either of them, for sure. And the thing that I keep coming back to is Kyle doesn't want to share. She just doesn't. She's been doing this for years, and it's coming to a head now because she finally has something that's serious enough to share, and she's still not sharing, and she's still moving around and acting like nothing's going on and not giving the audience anything. So when it really comes down to it, we would just have Dorit on one end in complete denial, acting like they're still friends on the camera for whatever reason she does that, and then you have Kyle on the other end who's not going to talk about it. So we would have never gotten that, even if producers tried to push it, and we probably would have been a little annoyed at it.
I don't think producers would have pushed it, and this is my most frustrating thing about Kyle, and I hope that at some point in these next 2 episodes, somebody makes it a priority. Why does she always get a pass? Why do we never go after Kyle? Like, we did a little bit last year, but she got backed up or the center focus of that was Kathy. So like it kind of took a weird turn because it was family stuff. So people didn't get that far into it. I get that.
It was, and Kathy was also mean. So people felt bad for Kyle. So it's like,
which
okay.
I get that. So like it wasn't the time, I guess. But I feel like she always comes out of these things without getting grilled. And I want somebody, and I know that her and Andy are tight. And I'm sure that has a lot to do with it. But looking around this, like both sides of this room, like you guys have shit with her. You guys can be mad at her for not talking about her shit. And I'm really hoping that we'll get that in episode two or three in regards to the Kyle and Mo stuff, because we've seen a lot of these women bare their souls on this show. There's a couple that have not, you know, Garcelle, we're really not getting a whole lot out of, which is more and more frustrating the more and more we watch. Yeah, the storyline with her kids is nice, it's sweet, whatever, but we're not getting a lot to sink our teeth into there. That's frustrating. You look across this room. Let's go over this season. We have two of these castmates that really came to work. That's Erica Jane and Sutton.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So for Kyle, who has this atom bomb to drop about her and Mo, and then we get clips from Netflix of Mo and Kyle dropping much more knowledge on Netflix than they did on Bravo, what the fuck are we watching for? Why are we wasting our time if you're leading us on with no payoff?
Yeah, it doesn't really make any sense. And Andy actually said something that I thought was interesting during the reunion itself when they were discussing Kyle and Dorit's relationship. He said he even thought they were close. So if Andy thinks that you're close, then what are you doing to us? Are you just making this up? Or is Kyle just trying to downplay their friendship because of what Dorit said in her confessionals?
I don't know.
I think maybe that's the route that she's going, because you can see how close Mo and PK are.
Right.
How the fuck do you think Mo and PK got to be close if you two aren't close? Like, that's not really how that works if you only went on vacation one time together. I mean, the whole thing makes no sense. And that's my biggest problem with Kyle is, even when we think we have something, she doesn't show anything, or she completely does a 180.
And deflects
deflects it somewhere else, or starts crying or whatever. And it brings me back to the beginning of the season, because Sutton and Garcelle sitting at that weed dinner did try to go after Kyle.
Right.
And she freaked out.
Yep.
We could have pressed that for a couple more episodes knowing, hey, there's something going on here. And again, this is probably producer driven because they picked up on the fact that her and Mo were on the outs and something was going on. So you could have pushed and pushed and pushed this, and eventually Kyle would have broken, which we wouldn't have seen otherwise. And we've never seen that before. So I do kind of, again, this is really funny to say, I want to see her break. Like I want to see her break down and tell people what the fuck's going on, because we've never seen that before from Kyle. Well, and we've seen it from everybody else.
That's exactly what I was going to say to back you up. It's like, we've watched other women on the show get pushed to the point of just having a meltdown. And Kyle's been party to that sometimes. She's been on the offense trying to push and push and push until someone finally breaks, and then you get this big moment or this big reveal.
Yeah.
Kyle's not on the receiving end of that, and I'm sick of it.
Or what about what she's in? One of the things that she said to Dorit in the text message was, I don't want a friendship to go away because I don't want a friendship to go away because of a show.
Right.
Why are you on the show?
Thank you.
You're talking about the show as if this isn't the main thing that you're doing at this point.
It is the thing.
This is the thing. This is what you've been doing for probably longer than anything else you've been doing in your life, aside from, you know, maybe being married. Other than that, like, what else is going on? Like, why are you downplaying the show, and why are you still on it if you're not sharing, and every time that you talk about the show, you say that it's not that big of a deal?
Right, and that's not even downplaying your career otherwise. Like, we are aware that you are producing movies again, you're in movies again. Like, it's not taking
check her IMDb.
But this is your main bread and butter, and that's fine. You are Kyle Richards of Rabha. That's how you are mainly known. So, like, to shy away from the limelight when the time comes to show us some stuff, that's weird to me. And instead of taking what Dorit's saying and being a good friend and, like, processing what she's saying, and this is so funny because, like, Dorit, I went back and forth this whole episode. Like, I felt bad for her, then I'm like, nope, you deserve this, but now I feel bad for you, but nope, you deserve this.
Yeah, I did the same thing. Also hard to keep my composure, because every time they flashed over to her, that outfit, dude, and the little strand, of hair coming down, like, it was just so funny.
This?
You do that sometimes, honestly.
Yeah, but mine looks better. Not right now.
Right now, it doesn't. Yeah, I don't think so.
Does this look like a toupe?
It looks a little toupish.
It's tickling my nose.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, if you're not watching YouTube, you didn't get to see that little bit of humor right there.
Prop humor?
Prop humor. Well, not really. It's my real hair. But
is it?
Yes.
Find out on YouTube now.
Find out on YouTube. It's still bald. But the funny thing, or the crazy thing, is Kyle defends the exaggeration comment. She defends that. And she's like, you know, I watched the show and I watched the confessionals, and like, you brought up my marriage on camera. It's like, that's what everybody does.
They also go to the scene in which the two of them are in a car together, which we immediately pegged as fake.
Yes.
Because we knew that Dorit knew what was going on. So why are you referencing something like that when you yourself were there to defend it?
Right.
I get that you can be pissed and, like, people can do this all the time. You can be angry if somebody in the confessional says something that you didn't want out there. That's okay. I understand that. But again, it's a TV show. You can't be pissed that she brought up your marriage on camera while you were there. You have control of that situation.
It was crazy. And she, I'm glad Dorit stood up for herself in this scene finally, especially to Kyle, because she says, you're a punisher. And this is true. This is very true. And I think this is why people hesitate to go after Kyle. It's like, if you go against her, she holds it over you. And she's not going to tell you. She's just going to separate a little bit and she's going to push things out there. She's going to say certain things in confessionals. She's going to wait for the reunion, then she's going to drag you. But it's like, if you don't play her game, then she's going to hold a grudge. And that's what we see here. And I'm also glad that Dorit was like, do you think I'm an idiot? Like, do you think I'm dumb when you send me this text? Do you think I don't know what you're trying to do here? And Kyle's like, I never meant any of that to be manipulative at all. It's like, fucking read it.
Yeah.
Read it. Like, it's manipulation at its finest, except it was very clumsily done.
Honestly,
the night before? Come on.
It doesn't even matter what the content is. You texted her the day before the reunion. Yeah. You haven't talked to her in 3 months. You could say anything in that moment, and it's manipulative.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, because now you're making contact again before you have to face her on stage.
Like you could have just said, like, hey, how are you? Like, okay, I know what you're doing.
Hey, thinking about you.
Manipulate. Yep.
But from there, we move to Garcelle. And, you know, again, not a whole lot to talk about this season. We got a lot from her about parenting and... The biggest moment between anybody that she had was her and Dorit with the microaggressions and the attack comment and the Karen behavior and all of that stuff. And, you know, we talked about this at length, and I do want to touch on it again. But as we have seen, and as we see in this episode even, and as we have seen with Crystal and Dorit, like, Dorit does this. It is a pattern. And you cannot, as I've said previously, you cannot continue to claim ignorance. I do not think that Dorit's a racist. The women on this show have also spoken out, Garcelle included, and said, I don't think that you are a racist. I don't think you're trying to be racist, but you live in this bubble and you are ignorant to these things that you're saying. You just kind of bleh and throw it out there. And then when you defend it, you say it was a throwaway comment. Yeah, we know, but you can't do that. You have to have the wherewithal in that moment to understand, as Erica pointed out when it happened, saying the word attack from a white woman to a black woman has a different connotation. It just does. There is no argument there. That's how it is. You have to be careful with your word choice because the implication is different. And as I've said, like, if you have one ignorant moment and you take the time to learn, process what you did, and correct that and not repeat that same behavior in the future, it's a teachable moment. It is what it is. You're a better person for it. Fine, let's move on. If you continue to show this behavior, it becomes a problem. And that's when we bring up the bubble comment. Because Garcelle said, you live in a bubble. And I think that we can all see, like, yeah, you're in a Beverly Hills bubble with your beautiful family. And the only thing that you could do worse...
Minus PK,
because he's in London. He's in London.
He's not beautiful.
That's who.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers. And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's D-A-N-A, on your podcast app.
But the only thing that can make this worse is to double down on it. The only thing to make it worse is to triple down on it. I didn't know she posted a third one.
Yeah.
That's baffling. Like, after you post the bubble comment, then you post another thing to say, by the way, the only bubble I live in is a love bubble. It's like, dude, stop it. You're digging this hole so deep. And I know what she's doing. She's so scared to be called a racist that she's doing anything she can to prove that she isn't racist, which is in turn making her look kind of racist. I don't think she is.
I don't think she's even doing that. I think that she... This, honestly, this scene tells me everything that I need to know about Dorit. We had a moment where, obviously, it was a very awkward lunch when the two of them sat down. We had a moment after that where Dorit said the right things. And she said, I want to learn from this. I want to make sure that I don't do anything in the future, not just with you, but with everybody else, because I don't want to offend people. I don't want to be looked at as a Karen. I don't want to do this or that. You had time to reflect on that. You had time to watch the show back and see how stupid you were. And then we find out, obviously, that you posted the pictures and you use that caption. That's the double down right there. And you could even claim, okay, I posted that beforehand. Why didn't you take it down? She didn't really have an answer for that. Okay, whatever. You are now sitting here after having that conversation and now you're defending yourself once again.
Yeah.
Instead of just accepting it, like, you could have said, hey, Garcelle, we had this conversation. I've learned, I've tried to, you know, think about the words that I'm going to say and in the context I'm saying it, especially to who I'm saying it to. You could have said a lot of different things. Defending yourself once again makes you look like an asshole.
Yeah.
It doesn't help your case about being a racist. Like, it just doesn't. And again, we don't think she's actually racist, but you are unbelievably ignorant.
Right. And that becomes a problem when it's a continued behavior. If you're in a moment and you get nervous... And you try to, like, you think of something off the cuff to say to, like, get yourself out of it, just don't say anything.
Just don't say that. Just keep your mouth shut.
Just don't talk then.
But that's, and I wonder if now, because, again, we saw that conversation, there were two separate conversations where it was just the two of them. I wonder if now she feels like she has backup. Like, oh, you know what? I've got Andy here. I've got all the other girls here. Maybe somebody will
get support.
Yeah.
She thinks she's going to get support.
I think that she thinks she's going to get support, which is even worse. Because now you're just showing your true colors at that point. You're saying, okay, now I think that I've got a little backup here. I can defend myself once again. No, you can't, because nobody is speaking on your behalf because everybody thinks that you're wrong. Everybody's looking at you.
Anne-Marie jumps in to defend her and says that in that interaction between her and Sutton, where Sutton says, don't yell at me, Dorit stepped in and said she's not yelling. I watched that scene back and was she yelling? No, but she was talking over Sutton, I thought. And I think that, I don't know.
And it also was on the heels of the esophagus comment.
There was a lot going on with that. That's a different scenario than what we watched with Dorit and Garcelle, where she says attack. And like,
it definitely is. And I also felt like that was just Anna-Marie interjecting herself into the conversation. And she's like, hey, I can get in on this. Like, no. Let's leave this. Again, the first part of the reunion was for us to get over the storylines that we've talked ad nauseum about. And we've gone through the bigger things are going to be coming. But again, we have to get through this because this is how the reunions work. We have to talk about the things that happened this season. I think that Dorit would have obviously just kept her mouth shut. She probably would have been fine.
I know.
You know what? Like, again, we already talked about this. You can say something about the comment or the Instagram caption, but other than that, just keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, just, I don't know.
Learn.
That's it.
How about that?
That's it. How about we just learn? Learn and be better in the future. It'll pay off in dividends. But moving on from there, and this is obviously one of the larger storylines of the season. This is like Anne-Marie versus Crystal. We check in. It's Anna-Marie, officially. I've been so confused all season because A-N-N-E, I'm Anne-Marie. But she says it's Anna-Marie.
I've been saying, I think it's like 75-25. I've been saying Anna-Marie.
You do both. Yeah. I just say Anne-Marie.
Yeah.
It is Anna-Marie. It's a Dutch name. So it's Anna-Marie spelled Anne-Marie. So we get clarification on that. So that was really actually very nice. I guess I've been very confused.
I am from Holland.
I haven't seen that movie in so long. But we do find out something very sad. And this was genuinely a sad moment to watch. And I guess she went on an interview recently and said that her mom did tell her on camera, which is interesting. And look, it's 100% Anne-Marie's prerogative whether or not she wants to share something like this on camera. We find out that her mother had a tumor in her lung that they found very unexpectedly. It was, I believe, stage 3 or stage 4 cancer. And 3 months later, she passed. And does that put a bearing or weight on to how she performed the season? Quite possibly. Was she more defensive because she was in a really tough place? Again, quite possibly. So it does cast a different lens on this season when you look at it, because she was going through a lot behind closed doors that we were not aware of. And that does definitely factor into everything that she was doing this year. I will say I'm very glad that she was quick to apologize to Sutton with no defense of the esophagus thing. Yep. She just said, I watched it back. I looked like shit. I'm very sorry. That was a genuine apology. So that I did very much appreciate. But that's when we get into the Crystal and Anne-Marie debacle that we had to watch all season. And there were some good moments from this. There were some memorable moments, such as Crystal calling her a bitch and like them getting into it, all that stuff. But Andy is the first one to say, now, anesthesiologist and nurse anesthetist, those are really hard to say back to back, by the way, are very similar. Could you have misheard her? And what Crystal says is no. What she said was, I am an anesthesiologist. And then Crystal brought up another friend that she has that's an anesthesiologist. And that's when Anne-Marie corrected herself and said, well, I'm a nurse anesthetist. A lot of people don't know what that is, so I just say anesthesiologist because it's easier.
Pretty believable.
Fairly plausible.
Yep.
Makes a lot of sense to me, especially considering, and Crystal reiterates it multiple times, and this is very valid. Anne-Marie was caught lying multiple times within the same scene. Like within a 5-minute window, she would say something. Somebody would call her out on it a couple minutes later. And she goes, I never said that. It's like, we just watched you say that. So you are a confirmed liar. On the other side, do I believe that Crystal said that these women were shallow and unintelligent? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I mean, she did
as much in her confessional in her first season.
I definitely see this happening.
I think that's my biggest problem with all of this and this entire storyline is we're arguing about something that didn't happen on camera.
Right. That's tough.
And it's really tough for the viewers to really get into it because we can't really pick a side.
It's she said, she said.
It is. And at the end of the day, I don't care. It's more so the fact that Anne-Marie decided to keep it going.
We know,
we've heard through the grapevine that the majority of the Spain trip just wasn't aired because that's all Anne-Marie was doing. And that kind of brings us back to, what are we doing here? Like, why is nobody else even giving anything more to this show? And especially if that's what you're going to do and that's your major sticking point, I don't care about it because it didn't happen on camera. This isn't something that happened when the two of you met in your first episode of the Weed Dinner or whatever. This happened months and months before. So why is this really going to matter to the audience? And it really doesn't, honestly.
I think my biggest issue with the entire thing, with the whole argument, is the fact that what Anne-Marie's defending is not what Crystal is saying. That's my biggest issue. Anne-Marie keeps saying, you're belittling my profession. Nobody has done that. Nobody has come out and said that nurses are not as good as doctors. Nurses suck. Nobody has said that your job is any lesser than anybody else's job.
Yeah.
What they said was you lied about your position. Your insecurities is what's pushing this narrative of, oh, here you go, dragging my profession again. And then she brings the politics of CRNAs versus, anesthesiologists versus CRNAs, which, look, that seems ridiculous to me. I don't know if this is an ongoing, if we have any CRNAs or anesthesiologists out there.
I hope it's a beef.
Please let us know.
Storyline out there.
Yeah, if this is a real thing, if you guys are feuding with amongst each other, let us know, because she keeps going back to this, and we go on her Instagram page. And I think this is the thing that's frustrating is, did she get a lot of shit this year? Yeah, she did. She got a whole lot of shit on social media, and I'm sure that's hard to read. I'm sure you internalized some of it. Absolutely. You didn't do yourself any favors.
No.
Because you go on social media and you keep posting the same thing in defense of an argument that nobody's doing. Nobody's accusing you or saying that your profession is not reputable.
Well, that's the other problem with her, is she was still defending the esophagus issue on Instagram for weeks and weeks at a time after that episode aired.
I know.
So, yeah, you do come in with an apology for Sutton, which is fine because Sutton didn't care about it anymore and nobody else cared about it.
Sutton's only issue was the underlying, it wasn't even the esophagus. It was, you accused me of having an eating disorder amongst other things.
Which she did. And she's still saying that she didn't say that. Like, we have it on camera that you said that to Crystal, of all people. And then what did you think was going to happen? One, it's on camera. Two, Crystal and Sutton are tight. So that's a problem. She just kept lying and lying. And honestly, and this will probably belittle her profession, and I'm okay with that. It's like a XFL player meeting somebody and saying, hey, I'm a pro football player.
That's a good point.
Like, okay, yeah. Well, who do you play for? The Chicago Battlehawks.
I'll personalize it, right?
I wasn't going to do baseball.
I will.
It would be
like me saying I played for the Baltimore Orioles and not then saying I was in the minor leagues, which I always make a point to do. I never say I played for the Orioles and leave it there.
Yeah, I didn't want to make it personal.
No, it's okay. Because, I was in the minor leagues.
Wait, you joined a men's league and now all of a sudden you're back?
Oh, my God, dude. quick side note for all of you out there. So this guy at my gym played at Louisville. I didn't know that. So Danny Rosenbaum went to CHA with us, I guess, or he was a couple years below us. He went on to play at Louisville. Mm-hmm. He reached out to me. He's like, hey, would you want to come play in this men's league? I was like, why not? We hit last night at the cages. It's the first time I've taken batting practice in 4 years. An absolute blast. Here's the blister on my hand.
Nice proof.
And my hips, these hips don't lie, and not in a good way. I am in so much pain today. Totally worth it.
I believe it.
But I'm old. I am an old, old man in body form.
Yeah.
Okay. But regardless, that is a very similar comparison because it's not the same thing. It doesn't mean that I'm not just as proud of how far I got in baseball. Because I got to double A. I'm very proud of that. But I didn't make it to the major leagues. And I wouldn't say I did.
And the other byproduct from this is I'm a little concerned about those 23 states and Guam.
Yeah.
You're telling me that somebody that didn't go to as much school as an anesthesiologist is going to put me to sleep? That's fucking horrifying.
It's a little scary.
I don't know much about that, but I'm scared.
Being an anesthesiologist, and I'm sure being a CRNA, is a very difficult position. You are literally keeping somebody alive while they're under the knife. It's a big deal on both ends. Nurse anesthetist, anesthesiologist. Big job, big deal, a lot of trust. Respect given. I guess that's my biggest point here is no one's saying that you don't deserve respect.
And the other thing is you would never catch, and I know this for a fact, you would never catch an anesthesiologist saying, oh yeah, I'm a nurse anesthetist. It wouldn't go the other way around.
Well, no, but.
I know, but that's.
Because they went to more school.
Duh. So if you get to do it from the other end and it's not mutual, then clearly you're trying to lie to somebody to make yourself seem more important.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That's some Freudian stuff there.
How about that?
Shooter McFreud.
Shooter tees. What? Socrates.
Oh.
Come on.
Leave the nicknames to me. We move on to Crystal. And, her biggest issue with the audience and with the women on the show is that she's not speaking up enough. And I will say, great reunion for Crystal. She held her own. She called people out. She had a lot to say. And that's the thing. And I know we've said it multiple times for people that listen to the show. She has not spoken up enough, but I do believe that she's capable of doing it. And I also think she gets a shit edit a lot of the times, and that's a whole different argument. And we try not to do the production thing here because, we could do that for everything and it would get really boring. But it's good to see her come in with a strong reunion because I think she genuinely needs it for, a good showing next season. She had to show up for this moment because we didn't get a lot out of her this season. So,
yeah, you could honestly just use the blueprint that Dorit's been following for 6 years now.
Yeah.
Show up at the reunion.
Yeah, it's a really good
point. Don't worry about the season. Don't bring anything. Just, call your husband a bunch of lovey-dovey names.
Boobalish.
And then do absolutely nothing the rest of the season. Then show up at the reunion and call people out.
That's a good point. Well, I hope she doesn't take... I hope next
season... No, yeah, don't do that. Don't take that blueprint.
But at least she's showing
up. Although, show up in a Dune outfit next year, for Dune 3.
What if that was a weird marketing thing, Dune?
I fucking hope so.
Dorit, wear this just to remind people subliminally of Dune coming out.
Yeah.
But we get into it a little bit, and we got that comment from her during the season about being hyper focused on how skinny everybody's gotten. As we know, Crystal has an eating disorder; she deals with it daily. She's very vocal and open about it, which we appreciate, which makes the Anne-Marie comments even tougher to hear. But we start to get into the Anne-Marie stuff, and Crystal calling her a bitch at the party and all of that. And Anna-Marie steps in with a side note. And she's like, by the way, Sutton, neither of us said you had an eating disorder. Neither of us said that. So let's just put that to bed right now. It's like, you said, does she have an eating disorder? To somebody with an eating disorder. In this moment, did you specifically say Sutton's got an eating disorder? No, you didn't specifically say that. But the implication is there. It's on camera. Wouldn't it do you so many more favors to just say, I'm sorry for even referencing that.
Yeah.
In front of you, Crystal, who has an eating disorder, and about Sutton, who has an esophageal disorder.
You gotta respect the effort, I guess.
I guess.
Let me get ahead of this right now. Sutton, neither of us said that. We just watched the episode where you did say it.
It's just weird.
I don't know what you're trying to do
here. And then
I don't know how to feel about the homework that Anna Marie's done. I guess I appreciate her coming prepared. Where
nah,
she's
Crystal
like,
came way more prepared. If absolutely. You could see, like, when she was ripping her apart for the anesthesiologist versus nurse anesthetist thing, I just wanted to do that to prove that I could do it.
Show off.
Yeah, I know. When she was ripping her apart for that, like, she, you could tell that she came prepared, and she probably looked it up on Google instead of going to her old medical books. But she looked through everything, and she understood the differences in the two and came after Anna Marie. And Anna Marie was not ready for her to come after her like that, and you can tell. This is your profession, and somebody sitting across the room from you who does not work in your profession or in the medical field is ripping you apart. You should be able to defend yourself. Like, you could tell right away that she was floundering, and that's where the Sutton comment comes in.
Yep.
Where I'm just going to try to downplay this as much as possible and say that I didn't say anything. You are completely lost, and a terrible reunion showing for Anna Marie so far.
Well, I also like, I was referencing when she calls out Crystal for lying and says, you know, the 14 friends comment from last year.
Yeah.
And she brings up,
we talked about that. Yeah.
Our comment from last year. Uh-huh. I'm like, part of me, like I said, appreciates the fact that she's bringing something, some kind of ammo, but at the same time, I think you just hold on to the unintelligent, shallow comment. Like, you just dig harder into that one, I guess.
But she did prove at least what we had already talked about. She did her homework before she got on the show by watching the show. And she came in with different notes, and I guess that she had an agenda to go after certain people, whether it's Sutton or Crystal or both or whatever. She knew specifically what they had said in past seasons. I don't really think, as much as I appreciate the fact that you're breaking that fourth wall, which I know that happened in Jersey and people yelled at Danielle for not, like, watching the show and being a fan, or that was Rachel, wasn't it?
Sure.
Yeah, I don't remember. So she actually broke the fourth wall and said, yeah, you know what, I've watched this before, I know what's going on. But it doesn't work because you weren't fucking there. Like, you can't go after somebody for being offensive and saying that these women aren't intelligent when you weren't part of the party that received that.
Yeah, I think that's, I don't know.
I just don't think you have a right to do that.
It's, if it was presented better, maybe, then I would be like, oh, that's a good callback. But it just seems shoehorned.
Yeah, maybe.
It seems kind of forced. I will say this. In light of finding out about her mom, I know I've been, like, very steadfast on the one and done thing, and you might still be on it, and that's fine, and I'm sure a lot of people watching are. I'm definitely much more open to the idea of giving her a second season and seeing what she's able to do with it. I can't imagine, genuinely, if your mom's going through this and it's 3 months while you're filming and you're trying to, maybe that's why she got so hyper-focused on things, maybe that's why she couldn't let things go.
You're
maybe
softy,
she can.
Though.
I am a huge softie, but, like, genuinely, like, I can't imagine that, dude. Like, that's fucking crazy.
But it's not really, for me anyway, it's not a matter of, okay, let's just see what she does next year. I don't think she should have been here in the first place. And I still can't figure out why she's even here because
of Kyle.
But we thought it was because of Kyle, but she came to Kyle's defense once. The rest of the time, she wasn't even around Kyle.
It was enough to deflect in that moment.
I guess.
And I think that it's just an ally for Kyle.
And it's 17 episodes in a season, and you did it one time. If that's really why you were there, then you failed. You didn't do anything. And they went after Kyle a couple different times, and you didn't really do anything about that. So, no, I just don't think she should have been here in the first place. I think if everything works out well, and it really didn't, and people are actually sharing, which they aren't, it works fine with who was on the show beforehand. You lost Rinna. Let's see what we have without Rinna.
I still agree with that, yeah.
Like, I didn't need her in the first place. So, no, I still don't think that I'm still on the one and done train.
Which is fine. And I can see a lot of people still being on that train. I'm more open to the idea of bringing her back. Let's see if she can have a better season. Watch some game film. Improve on last year.
Did she
year.
Watch the film? I can't even tell. She's I don't gonna, think so.
Good point. But she has an off season to do so, to study film, get better.
Because that's the thing. If you were going to hone in on specific times that you were doing things and saying things on the show, you would know, okay, they're going to come after me for the eating disorder comment. You would probably defend it a little bit better. You wouldn't apologize to Sutton and say, hey, neither of us said that if you watched the game film.
You would probably say, hey, I'm sorry that I referenced that.
Yeah, you would have a better game plan. Across
I don't know. Maybe I'm not talking about reunion.
I don't think she watched it.
I don't know. I think that she, we'll see. I'm, like I said, I'm more open to her coming back. I think that there's a place for if she can figure out her shit. But
you
that's
gonna
also considering this, the fact that this show as a whole needs to revamp itself. I'm not saying I am not saying they need a reboot right now. I'm not saying put them on pause. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying I hope that the cast of this show watches this season, reads some of the comments, and realizes, like, hey, we're not doing enough anymore. We need to give our audience more. Or maybe it's time for me to step away, i.e. Kyle Richards. If you are on this different path in your life, go and explore it. But don't make the audience suffer because you're not sure what you want to do. Or if that's the case, let us in. What are you doing instead?
Yeah.
This little shit. And I think that, you know, that, again, as a whole,
could go a long way. And I think it's a pipe dream across the board, assuming that these people on these shows are actually going to do the things that we want them to do. Because let's be honest, reading things on the internet about yourself, the majority of the things that are said, especially on these shows, are really bad.
Yeah.
So as much as I want to think that they're going to, you know, hone in on something that we say, because we're honorable men over here talking about this.
I like to think so.
I like to think so. And there's a couple other reputable sources. The majority of the stuff that you're going to see online is bashing you.
Yeah. Now, so, be careful in the comments.
Yeah.
Actually,
be careful or just completely avoid altogether.
That's a good point.
Is how I would recommend it. But at the same time, I want them to do things that we want them to do.
Yeah. You know.
So just watch our show.
A plug. Nice job. But this is my point with Dorit again. And this is why I was like, back forth, good job, bad job, good job, bad job. She does it again because she steps in and says, I was really hurt with the unintelligent comment. I think I'm the only one here with a college degree.
Yeah.
Bro, fuck. Like, not only is that not true, but you're also saying that anybody without a college degree is less intelligent than you. But dumb.
It's a double-edged sword, but both sides are going into Dorit. It's like a semicircle, but yeah, both are going into her.
Yeah, it's just, what the fuck? Like, these are the kind of comments, like, before you say that, either look around the room or simply don't say that because it's a tough look. You're sitting next to a CRNA, which she had to go to extra schooling to do that. So that's a moment where, yeah, she needed more schooling than you did, Dorit. Look across the room to the quote-unquote child bride, which we're about to get to. She went to 4 years of school, graduated, then got married, and now is the owner of a $100 million company. Just be careful with your words. Be more poignant with your words.
And what a weird time to interject yourself into a conversation.
Right? Like, why?
You could just, you know what? You're going to take a beating for a couple different things. How about you just sit a couple plays out?
That's what I'm saying.
Put yourself in an unnecessary conversation.
Just sit on the bench for a minute.
Relax and think about what's coming next.
Yeah, fix your hood. But this is where we start to get into the child bride comment and between Dorit and Crystal. And Crystal drags her in the best way possible. This is probably Crystal's highlight since she's been on the show because it was so well done. But she says, I stand by the uneducated comment because of the child bride comment, which is equating to a mail order bride. And she says, well, like this kind of shit. Priscilla Presley was labeled a child bride. It's the Asian part. Yeah. Okay. That's the fucking problem. The implication there. That's why when you said it, the majority of people watching at home went, ooh, like that exact noise. If you put your head out your window and other people are watching Bravo in your neighborhood, you probably would have heard a collective oof. Like, that's the fucking problem. And no, I don't think that you were maliciously intended there trying to say something racist, but it comes off that way. And we continue to see this pattern, Dorit, and that's where you have to be better. That's where ignorance is no longer a foothold. And yet she still claims that I didn't know that. Then don't say it.
Don't fucking say it.
Like, it's that fucking
it just
simple.
It proves your ignorance, honestly. And right. There's two things that came from that that made me chuckle. The one was not a good chuckle, but what the fuck are you doing?
Priscilla Presley was...
Well, not that part. Not
like 14 years old.
After that part. Garcelle leans over and goes, this is what I'm talking about.
She goes, no, she literally goes, it's the agency. This is what I'm talking about.
And like that made me laugh because that is very true. Like this is exactly what we're talking about, yes. Dorit. Take some fucking notes and learn something for once in your life. You went to college. What did you study? Not social things at all.
No.
Ever. So no, that doesn't really make any sense. And then you go over to Kyle, who tries to defend her.
I know. She says, well, people say like that's just the age they pick. Like, oh, she was like 12. Like, what the fuck?
They pick 12 all the time. It's what I do. I do it all the time. Are you typically talking about child brides too, Kyle? Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
What context are you saying they're like 12?
Like the dumbest thing ever. Not to mention, you just said that you and Dorit aren't even friends.
Yeah, so
what are you defending her for?
I don't know.
Again, same thing that I just said about Dorit. Kyle, you're going to take your beating a little bit.
take a couple plays off. Don't put yourself into this to someone who's a non-friend that you've grown apart from,
right,
who bashed you in the media using your words, whatever. Just fucking sit this one out. Just let Dorit take this, because no one's going to defend her. You don't need to defend her.
No. And I think the cherry on top was definitely where Crystal's like, that is a microaggression. And Erica Jane goes, that's more like a macroaggression. And I was like, yeah, it really is. Like, that's the craziest part, is even now, hearing it back, watching the scene, do you not recognize, Dorit, like, what you're saying? Like, how bad that was? That one sucked.
Yeah, that was really fucking bad.
Top, like, to bottom.
You cannot understand the attack thing, and that, like, a lot of people will understand that you just don't get it. You don't defend yourself, of course, but you try to learn from it. The child bride thing is fucking insane.
It's insane.
Like, that's a next level racist remark. It's fucking insane. And I know that by the end of this, all three parts, I'm going to feel so bad for Erica.
Oh, yeah.
Sitting between Dorit and Kyle. Like, you're already getting it between the two of them, and now they're going to start bashing each other, and then everybody's going to start bashing the two of them again. You're just kind of stuck in the middle there. You got to be questioning, like, why am I sitting here?
I don't feel bad for her.
I feel bad for her.
Here's why.
Why?
Last year, she was on the chopping block. I'm sure she gets more than happy sitting in the middle and not having to be questioned. I think that no matter where she is in this room, now that she's not in the hot seat, she doesn't give a shit.
She already said that she needs a break, and that was just after the Kyle and Dorit thing.
That is a good point.
I think that she's going
to
hate it.
It's going to be interesting to watch that one play. Like I said, I just hope that they actually go after Kyle, and they press her to get some of the answers, or at least make her squirm and try to defend herself through it. I don't know if we're going to get it. I'm not keeping my hopes up.
Are we going to get it when Kathy comes out? Like,
maybe.
Yeah, can we just talk about why the fuck Kathy's even there?
I don't know. I don't know. But
maybe we'll find out.
You hear the speculation that the plaid that we see, like there's this plaid suit that kind of comes off of camera and you don't see who it is. Kathy's not wearing a plaid blazer. So now people are saying, like, oh, is that Morgan Wade? So if Morgan Wade comes out, this is the rumor. I'm just letting you know.
Yeah, I do. I love rumors.
I'm a
fan of rumors, especially when things don't leak from Bravo shows. Everybody just stop digging. Let us enjoy our time.
I know it's fun for the sleuths, and look, we appreciate your work a lot of the time, but like, don't ruin
finales. Do it in the off season. Just don't do it before the finale. I don't want to know. I want to be surprised.
Yeah, the Salt Lake blueprint is
Salt
what
Lake
we, that is gospel.
Well, and there's still people that are like, "Oh, I knew about that a week before." Well, shut up.
Yeah.
How about that?
Fine.
Have you thought about that?
Cool. You're the guy that spoils movies for other people.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. Well, the only reason that I don't think that Morgan's there is because, one, I mean, she's really close to Kyle, so unless it's like a fake surprise where it's like, oh, yeah, no. Andy had already said and made a joke that Mo was going to be there, and if he makes that joke, then I don't think that he would then surprisingly bring out Morgan Wade.
I don't think that Kyle's going to be surprised by it. I think that everyone else, you look at Sutton's reaction as this plaid jacket is entering the screen. That's what this whole thing came from, because Sutton's face is like, and then you see this plaid blazer and or whatever. Maybe it's not a blazer, but there's a plaid article of clothing.
Is that when Sutton has her medical thing?
Yeah, like shortly after that is when Sutton has
her. I don't know.
Morgan Wade walking on.
I don't think that. Yeah.
Why? Why is that so far-fetched?
It's not far-fetched. I just don't think that anybody would be that surprised at Morgan Wade walking on.
I think they would.
Unless she's going to propose to her or something.
Hey, maybe they're going to announce their love to each other on this. Maybe this is where they're being.
I would be fine with that, because we don't hear anything in the press about that. So
that's a good point.
I'd be okay with it.
That's a good. I love that. Well, all that conversation was happening earlier about Morgan Wade, and we're about to talk a little bit more about Kyle, but Sutton has, like, chimes in at the very end of that first segment. She's like, by the way, and this I thought was her like trying to like fish a little bit, and like, she's like, by the way, we'd all be totally cool with it.
Yeah.
Cool with it. It's like, are you trying to set it up? Are you trying to get her to spill the beans?
I hope so.
I appreciated that. But we get into Kyle's changes that she's made over this past year. Again, mixed reviews about this one, mixed feelings. I didn't appreciate that the group kept challenging her sobriety and saying, like, why aren't you drinking anymore? Like, that bugged the shit out of me. The exercise, again, like, she's bettering herself. I've already discussed, like, the pitfalls of replacing booze with another thing, such as exercise. And I think you sum it all up into one thing without questioning what she's doing, because what she's doing is technically improving her life and her lifestyle. I think the thing you take away from it is these drastic changes in such a short amount of time. That's what's alarming. I think the group handled it like shit as far as how they discussed it and brought it to her attention. Had they been a little bit more gentle, like, hey, it's great you're working out. Hey,
stop drinking, good for you. What's up with all these quick decisions, though? Like, are we good? Like, there's a different approach to it that I would have much preferred to see, especially in regards to her sobriety, and also challenging that she can or can't be fun because she's not boozing. Like, that sucks to hear, too. So, regardless, she did go through a lot of changes this year, and obviously her best friend committed suicide, which is unfathomable how you get through that. I don't know. But we really jump into the Dorit issues now and what's going on between these two. And the root of it all seems to be Kathy and what happened last year at the reunion. That seems to be when this rift had occurred. And I'm curious, is this, I don't want to say an excuse, because that did rattle her cage. You could tell last year after that, I don't think they spoke for a while. Then they reconnected and then their friendship wasn't the same. Enter Morgan Wade, and Dorit's claiming that the closer she got with Morgan, the further she got from Dorit. Why that is, we don't really know yet. Hopefully we get some answers to that. But Kyle's explanation of it's confusing, because I don't know where to stand on this one, because I do 100% think that Kyle overproduces. I think she manipulates situations. She tries to drive the show in a direction that's favorable to her over and over and over again. And she uses Dorit at her expense for that sometimes. And I'm wondering if that's what she's doing here, because she says, we had discussions in private. You told me how disappointed you were in Kathy's behavior. Then you're on stage defending her. I thought that was fucked up last year too, when Dorit chimes in randomly on Kathy's behalf. I was like, that's random. But at the same time, Dorit points out the things that you told me happened between the two of you, which I'm not going to repeat here, which was also a funny one-liner. Like, by the way, there's a ton of shit to talk about, but I'm not going to talk about it.
Yeah.
That was all past things between the two of you. That wasn't things that I personally had witnessed. My experience with Kathy is X. Your experience is Y. You want me to go to bat on your behalf, which is what a friend should do, I guess. At the very least, don't jump in to defend Kathy when those two are feuding on stage. But to me, again, it feels like Kyle is trying to spin the narrative. She's trying to set Dorit up almost as her fall guy, where it's like, you're the problem. You were the problem, not me, not Kyle Richards. I'm fine. I'm exploring new things. I'm living my life. And you, Dorit, are the issue. That's why this friendship crumbled. I can't trust you.
Yeah, I just don't believe any of it.
I don't either.
Look, I probably wouldn't believe it anyway. But you texted her the day before and tried to say, like, hey, I don't want to lose a friend.
Right.
You can't now sit here and say, well, we grew apart because of what happened with Kathy. If that was true, then you wouldn't have sent the text message in the first place.
Great point.
And that is, I feel like, the ultimate, that's the ultimate insight into Kyle trying to manipulate the situation.
Yeah.
Like, you can't say one thing to Dorit personally via text one day, and then the next day say, well, we drifted apart since this happened. And then you go into the whole relationship with Kathy, which, by the way, I mean, I think that Kyle's trying to downplay Dorit's friendship with Kathy. Maybe. And look, maybe Kathy doesn't really give a shit because she's Kathy Hilton, but Dorit might look at Kathy as a friend, and she sees her in, you know, social circles or at parties or events or whatever. And that's kind of where it is. Do I still think last year at the reunion, it was very weird that Dorit spoke up on behalf of Kathy?
Yes.
Going after Kyle? Yes. Very weird. That deserves Kyle to sit back and say, well, are we actually friends? Or are you just trying to use me to get closer to Kathy? That's kind of what I think is going on as well. But nothing that Kyle is doing is believable. Everything she's doing, there's a reason behind why she's doing it.
Calculated.
It's all calculated, and it's all focused on just trying to get the heat off of her. Yep. She knows that this reunion is going to be really tough for her, and everybody's going to start talking about this and that and whatever, and they want answers from her, which she has never been in that position before. We've never seen Kyle in that position before, because she's made sure to completely navigate the waters and get away from those positions. Now you're finally on the hot seat. You need to face the music. There's just no way around this. There's too much going on. You can't sit there and say, well, no, this happened because of this, and this happened because of that, and now we're not friends anymore because you're friends with Kathy. Like, no, that's just fucking answer the questions.
And she also uses the defense that, well, we were at BravoCon, and that dude was talking shit about Teddy Mellencamp.
That was the dumbest clip I've ever seen.
I was like, what are you talking about?
That was the dumbest clip I've ever seen. Why did they even put that in there?
I don't know.
It does nothing for me.
Dorit just sits there. She just doesn't respond. She's not giving it any life. When Dorit's like, I didn't feel like addressing this dude, I was like, that actually seems plausible.
Yeah.
She just was like, what? This is a throwaway. Why am I wasting my time
defending
a housewife that's no longer on the show because we're friends with her? Like, Teddy knows I'm friends with her. What the fuck do I have to sit up here and talk to this guy about it for? Like, that makes no sense.
Yeah.
Like, that's your defense, is the BravoCon moment and Kathy.
It's just nothing makes sense that Kyle's doing.
It drives me nuts, because that's the problem. That's the root of the issues with Beverly Hills, is Kyle and her lack of sharing, her teasing throughout the whole season without a big payoff and not actually contributing to the show and overproducing and overmanipulating to spin this fucking narrative. And whether that's her on her own, whether that's her working with production, again, we don't like to do that, but we're at a point now where it's unavoidable. You have to discuss it because there's too much stuff happening behind the scenes here to like wheel and deal and make it look a certain way. We see it. The audience sees it. It's, you're pretty much essentially calling us stupid because you think that this is going to wow us in some way, shape, or form, or that we're not going to see through this bullshit. Go look at any of like the Reddit pages or go look at any comments under videos. This is common knowledge now. People are just talking about this. Beverly Hills is overproduced. We're witnessing it every single time we watch the show. That's the problem. And you're going to get the ratings. As we've talked, it's Beverly Hills. You get the ratings. It's going to happen. But what product are they putting out there now? It's not anything what it used to be. It is not in the same ballpark as Miami, which is so fucking funny to say. They were on pause for 6 years,
yeah,
and they're putting out a way better product than Beverly Hills right now.
Yeah, and it really only comes down to one person, and that's Kyle.
I agree.
We got rid of Public Enemy number 2 last year,
yeah,
and we're all happy about that. Most of us are happy about that, I hope. But now we've still got Public Enemy number 1, and this was your time to finally just shine and show everybody, like, hey, this is your show. And what are you doing? You're not answering. You're downplaying the show. You're acting like the show doesn't matter. And you're upset that you're even there to answer the questions. Like, you had an opportunity, and we talked about this with a lot of different shows. There are golden opportunities for you to shine and show that this show is worth it and that you are a big star for the show, and you're not taking it. So what am I supposed to think about your role in this show moving forward?
I don't know, dude. Nothing. It's a weird time for Beverly Hills. And I said that in a post when we got Mo on Instagram making weird TikToks or whatever where he's
weird
doing
time for
weird,
Mo too.
It's just a weird time for like Beverly Hills overall. I'm curious what next season's gonna look like. I'm curious what these next two episodes are gonna look like. Again, I hate to, and I talked about this at the finale. This season hinges on the reunion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that it does that. They need to deliver more during the season so it doesn't hinge on the reunion. But the reunion will factor in on whether or not this season was a success or a flop on how they go about the next two episodes, strictly in regards to Kyle. I have now gotten enough answers from the rest of the group. I don't need to hear about Erica and the trials anymore. I don't give a fuck. I don't need to hear about anybody else's shit. We got it out of the way. These next two episodes need to be about Kyle Richards, Morgan Wade, and Mauricio, period. They're not going to be.
They're not going to be.
They're not going to be. They're going to save it for the last 10 minutes of episode
three.
The funny
thing is, I can't even remember what the rest of the storylines are. I feel like we covered everything.
We did. That's my point.
So what are they going to do? I know they're not going to spend the next two episodes just talking about Kyle.
They do themselves a huge favor if they do.
Yeah, I just don't know.
Episode 2, Kyle and Morgan Wade. Episode 3, Kyle and Mo. Fucking great TV.
That is great TV.
Will we see it? I don't know.
No, we won't.
It's frustrating, man. It's frustrating to watch, and I hope that they pull it off. I hope that they give us two solid reunion episodes after this one. I am not cautiously optimistic. I'm relatively pessimistic, and that's not a good place for me. Usually I'm the optimist in the group.
No, it's not.
So we'll see what happens. Like you've said multiple times, Kyle Richards has a lot to answer for. We're getting more in the first episode of Mo's show on Netflix than we got from her all season.
God, Bravo's got to be so pissed.
They got to be livid.
Yeah.
They got to be livid, and they can't. There's not any real.
Grounds for firing.
No, there's no repercussions. That's my point. It's Kyle. Like, this is my whole point with her, is that she has this guard, this protective layer where it's like, oh, but it's Kyle. It's like, no. No, just because she's been, that's even more of a reason to hold her to a higher standard. She sets the tone. If she is the helm of the show.
She has all the leverage, though.
Unfortunately, yeah. That is true.
She knows that this show is not the same without her, even when she's not doing anything.
No, and it
sucks. It looks way different.
It's really frustrating. It's really fucking frustrating. All she has to do is her job.
Yep.
Do your job.
And answer some questions.
Better. Yeah.
Let us know.
It's the reunion. It sucks for everybody. We've gathered that. We know that. You don't want to go through it. It's part of it. It's part of the job. Everyone else, no, that's not even true. Two other people on the cast showed up for work. Sutton and Erica. They put on their work boots. They went to work all season. Everyone else, ho-hum. Kyle, bottom of the barrel. You didn't do shit. You didn't give us anything except for a bunch of teasers that never paid off until you watched fucking
Beverly Hills.
Buying Mauricio.
Buying Mauricio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm frustrated.
I'm frustrated too.
I'm a flustered little potato today. I was a hot potato last week. Now yeah. I'm a flustered little potato today. But
you're always a potato.
It's from Zoolander.
I know that it's from something.
I just get stuck in my head. It's just a funny reference point. I don't know.
Go to different vegetables, you know?
Carrot? I am a... No, not a carrot. I'm a...
You could be a flustered sweet potato.
I'm a riled up rutabaga, I'll tell you what.
There you go. Now we're talking.
But let's get to some questions. I'm sure we got a lot, so let's dive in. Oh, this is interesting. And I guess let's do celebrities. But from KBAC 13, if you could choose anyone to replace Dorit as a housewife on Beverly Hills, who would it be? I'm voting Jennifer Tilly. I want to see what she can do.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one, but that's already kind of built in with Sutton. I want somebody from the outside. There's people out there that watch, like Jennifer Lawrence would be a good, she's younger.
That's okay.
Jennifer Lawrence would be probably pretty solid. I want somebody that knows the Bravo game.
I mean, Heather Dubrow is an easy fit.
Yeah.
If you want to pull her up from OC, if you want to go outside the realm entirely, whoa, my God. White Lotus, what's her name? Fuck. She was the biggest star again for like during the airing of that season.
Oh, yeah. Also Jennifer, what the fuck is her last name?
Jennifer Coolidge.
There you go.
Jennifer Coolidge. Yep. Boom. That's my vote. She's fantastic.
Yeah, that would be good.
Watch season of her. This one's really funny from Mike Bros. Oh, our buddy Mike Bros. How can Dorit speak 7 languages but not read the fucking room?
Great. I'm not even... We really don't have to answer that. Anything. Hell yeah.
Good dig. Nice job. From Billy Deal. Kyle forgave Kathy but not Dorit for telling her to listen to Kathy. Kyle loves being the victim. That's more of a statement, Billy.
It is more of a statement, and we can try to break it down. My best guess is Kathy's family, and Kyle has been living her entire life just trying to...
Make Kathy.
Things work with Kathy. So yeah. She's always going to take her over anybody else in her life.
From LH503, who do you believe, Kyle or Dorit, regarding the lack of close friendship?
Honestly, probably Dorit.
I'm Dorit on that one.
Yeah, I think the Kyle's downplaying it because she has different motives.
I agree with that. From exactly, did Andy bring up Anna Marie's mom so the audience would feel sympathy for her? I don't think so.
I don't think that Andy plays that game.
No, and I think that that's a major, major talking point that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, and it does give us a little bit of insight and perspective on her behavior this year.
Definitely.
For the most part. And I think that it's really just, it's a major life event that happens not on the camera.
Yeah, I think that...
So they bring those up all the time. I don't think it was a sympathetic move or anything like that.
No, I think it's something that... 100% needs to be addressed and told to the audience so we're aware of it, because
right.
It does make you look at her entire season through a different lens. Whether that gives her another season or not is a different story.
Yeah, I don't think it does. And I just think it's, again, it's just a major life event that happened. So,
yeah.
You know, it's right to let the audience in as long as she's okay with us knowing.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, her not showing it during the season was 100% her prerogative. She didn't have to. That's a fucking really difficult thing. But whew, reunion season. Reunions are tough, man.
Reunions are tough. That was a yawn at the end of the episode. How about that?
Sheepy boy. But
yeah.
Make sure you're not sleeping next Wednesday, because that's our live show at the City Winery in Philadelphia. There are not a lot of tickets left. Like, we are damn near about to stamp this bad boy is sold out. So if you do not have your tickets yet, I would recommend getting them before the weekend. I don't think we're going to have any left by then. And if you do, it'll be like one seat in on the side. So if you want to go with somebody, you're not going to have room to sit. There's only a few spots left that have multiple seats at one single table. So if you're planning on going with people, now's the time to buy it. There's a couple of 4 spots left, and I think there's like 1 or 2, 3 spots. Other than that, it's a lot of duels and singles. So make sure you go get those tickets now. It is next week. Doors open at 6, I believe. It's a bar, so you can go hang out until
then. You can do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, and then the show starts at 7.
Yeah.
But City Winery, Philadelphia, March 6th, Wednesday night. Then we are in D.C. on May 3rd at the Union Stage. It's a much bigger venue, so get all the tickets you can. Fill that bad boy up. I don't think we're going to sell it out, but God damn it, would I be so proud if we did. So come and support your boys. It's a Friday night, so you have no excuse. If you listen to the show and you're in the D.C. or the Potomac area, the Mid-Atlantic, if you will, and you don't come out to support us, do you really support us?
Do you even?
Do you really? Yeah, I'm going to put that on you.
Do you even, bro?
Yeah, I'm going to put that guilt on you. Do you, bro?
Yeah.
Do you, bro, down?
Not hard enough.
Not hard enough. Not if you don't buy tickets for May 3rd at Union Stage Friday night. And then the last one we got coming up for now is Boston. That one is June 14th. That is at the City Winery. That's also a Friday night. That's a smaller venue. I say it every week. Much smaller venue. It's only 70 seats. We expect that one to fill up very, very fast. So go get the tickets now so you don't miss out on that one. We've already sold a bunch. So get those tickets ASAP. Come hang out with your bros. Just bro down, bro.
Just bro down.
You got anything else?
Nope.
Bro, bros are out here.
See ya.
Hey, hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers. And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's D-A-N-A, on your podcast app.